May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 235. In all our worst afflictions, when furious foes surround us, when troubles vex and fears perplex, and Satan would confound us, when foes to God and goodness, we find ourselves by feeling to do what's right, unable quite, and almost as unwilling. Hymn number 235.
Thank you. We'll turn to read in two portions of Scripture. Firstly, the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 27. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 27. In that day, the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit. Hath he smitten him as he smote those that smote him? Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin, when he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalkstones, that are beaten in sunder, the groves and images shall not stand up. Yet the defence city shall be desolate, and the habitation forsaken, and left like a wilderness. There shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down, and consume the branches thereof. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire. For it is a people of no understanding. Therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favour. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt. And ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. We'll also turn to read a portion in the book of the Lamentations, chapter 3, and from verse 22. Lamentations chapter 3 from verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach, for the Lord will not cast off for ever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion, according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain, thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare has come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission, till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. May the Lord bless his word. May he now help us to pray. Lord, we bow before thee now, desiring that thou wilt grant and bestow upon us the grain of precious faith, that we may truly be able to look up unto thee, who art the Saviour of sinners, the Redeemer of the lost, or that one who has compassion, as we have read, O Lord, that we may this evening know that thou art the God of all grace. And we do pray this evening that our hearts and our minds may be directed heavenward. And we do pray there may be some real help from the sanctuary, though according to our state by nature we are not worthy of the least of thy mercies, not worthy of the least of thy notice, that we don't deserve any favour, that we don't deserve to be heard, Lord, from of thee. But we ask, it may be that through thy name, by thy merits, through thy blood, that we are accepted in thy sight this evening. And we do pray our sins, which are many, may be forgiven, they may be washed and cleansed, and purged from our sins in thy precious blood. And we do pray, Lord, that thou prove this evening that thou art that risen and exalted Saviour, all victorious, all powerful, and that all our enemies are under thy feet. We do pray there may be some real help for the friends gathered here this evening. Lord, may none be sent empty away. O Lord, we pray that thou art satisfied thy poor with bread. Look upon the case of the poor and needy. As we read in thy precious word, that when the poor and needy seek water, either Lord will hear them, either God of Israel will not forsake them. And Lord, we do pray that thou pour upon those that are thirsty those streams which make glad the city of God. And we do pray that thou hast direct one in speaking. Oh, that he may be thy messenger with thy message. And Lord, that it may be that we do not speak our own wisdom, but that we, Lord, are given that grace to minister thy word. And that, Lord, there may be that power in the word, that it might go forth in power and in the Holy Ghost, and to much assurance, and that our hearts be open to receive it. Oh, how we do need thee to give us that new heart of grace. Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. Oh, do then melt, we pray, the hardest heart. Lord, break the sinner's heart, we ask. And Lord, we do pray, that thou wilt also heal the brokenhearted, and do speak to the fearful in heart, saying, be strong, your God will come, even your God with a recompense. Oh, how we need thee to deal with us. Lord, we're all here present before thee, and our hearts and lives are exposed before thy all-seeing eye. And therefore, Lord, we come and we ask that thou wilt deal with us in mercy. And thou who art the God of spirits will so work within our own heart. And deal with us. Save us spiritually that we may have a real salvation. And that we may be made spiritually clean and renewed. Oh, let's renew a right spirit within us. And as we are even here, Lord, this evening, oh, to be amongst those worshippers who worship God in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, do come, we pray, work by the power of thy Holy Spirit within us. Bring us on our way, we pray, on that right road, that one way that leads to heaven at last. Yes, Lord, we plead that promise, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, do not forsake us, we pray. Do not leave us. As we know, Lord, thy promise is toward all thy own people. Thou wilt never leave them nor forsake them. So we plead it now, because we are worthy to be forsaken. Yet, Lord, forsake not the work of thine own hands. We ask that thou wilt remember the dear friends gathered then. Remember those in spiritual needs and those The circumstances which may weigh heavily upon some, and do undertake, we do pray in those family cares, those business concerns, health and strength, the circumstances that have arisen, things that may have been passed through recently, things that may yet be encountered in that which is before us. We do pray then there may be help in all our path, and we may realise in anything and everything, providential and spiritual, our help comes from the Lord that made heaven and earth. O Lord, we pray then that remember each and every one gathered. Those who are not able to be here, perhaps this evening, do go to them where they are. Do shine, Lord, into each home, we pray. We pray thy blessing, Lord, upon us in the causes of truth, where thy name is loved and reverenced. O Lord, we ask that thou wilt come amongst us, that it may be thy good spirit remains amongst us. Pray for the work of thy spirit. We thank thee where it is manifest. Thank thee that it has been so in this place. Indeed, in us we have the witness of those enabled to come and tell what thou hast done and walk in thy ordinances. Oh, do follow with thy blessing. Be with those, O Lord, who have put on the Lord Jesus. And may it be that thou art their special help and give them strength and grace to run the race set before them. And Lord, each one of us, Lord, each one of us, Lord, however long it has been since indeed we walked in that way, may it be that we are amongst those who hold on their way. So Lord, have mercy upon us. And as we come before thee this evening, we would be truly thankful. Thankful because thou art merciful and gracious. Thankful because thou dost not deal with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. Thankful that thou art merciful and gracious and ready to forgive. And Lord, we would in this acknowledge then all thy mercies towards us in this life, the many provisions that thou dost bestow on us, and all necessary things provided. And we would moreover thank thee, O Lord, for thy great mercy in salvation, and pray that we may each taste that salvation, know that redeeming love. Bless thy people here, we pray. Remember our dear friends, the deacons in their office and path, and be with them, we pray. And Lord, do help each in the church and congregation. We would pray for those who have been bereaved, be their continual strength and comfort, we ask. May they know underneath the arms, everlasting, supporting them, surrounding them, and that thou, Lord, will be their help. And we do pray that thou wilt, Lord, prepare us each for all thy will in the earth, for thou knowest the changeable times that we are found in. And truly, do we have the evidence all around us of change and decay, that we are mortal, that this world must pass away, and all the works therein, and we as well, that we're here, we have no continuing city. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt then prepare us for all thy will in the earth, and prepare us for that great day of eternity. And we do pray that we may be truly found in that day, as that shock of corn fully ripe. Oh, that thou wilt purge us of our sin and make us fit, Lord, for that great day, that we may stand before thee, washed in thy blood of Jesus and clothed in his righteousness. We ask then, do that great work in us. Remember our loved ones, we bring them each before thee. O graciously work in their hearts. Lord, and we do pray for each assembled here, those in our own cause, have mercy, we pray. Those round about this locality, yet lost in the darkness of sin and unbelief, Lord, have mercy on such. So we ask for mercy in these ways. Pray for thy mercy in the earth, and Lord, upon many benighted souls. And those countries, Lord, where there is so much war, and where there is pestilence and famine, Lord, do remember thy people in the midst of those places. And we would then in this truly acknowledge thy favours towards our own country. We do pray for mercy for England. And now then, Lord, we would further wait upon thee in the singing of thy praises. And as we turn to thy word, we ask that thou turn with us and do grant that one may be thy messenger in thy message, and that there might be this evening that flown together between pulpit and pew. Could it be thy will? So we ask these favours for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 154. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood. Of his suffering so intense, angels have no perfect sense. Who can rightly comprehend their beginning or their end? 'Tis to God and God alone that their weight is fully known. Hymn 154.
Thank you.
the Lord's help this evening, we'll turn to the chapter we have read in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 27, and particularly to verse 9. Isaiah chapter 27 and the 9th verse. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin, when he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, the groves and images shall not stand up. This chapter in Isaiah begins with the witness that God is the keeper of his people. For we read of Zion in this chapter as the Lord's vineyard. And the Lord says this: I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. God's people are his vineyard. And you see, every one of his own elect are those plants of his right hand planting, and he'll cause them each to take root, and they will be grounded. They will be grounded rightly, as they will be built, each one, upon that solid rock, Christ Jesus. But you see, God is a jealous God. And he is jealous of his people. And he is jealous of his own great name. Oh, his name. His name, who is the Holy One of Israel. And that his name may be honoured and glorified in his people. Therefore, God cannot abide in his people that which is dishonouring to his name, that which stands against him as these thorns and these briars. And dear friends, how our sins are set before us, aren't they, in this description as thorns and briars? You know they did our sins pierce the Saviour? For that crown of thorns that was about his head was only figurative of the sins, our sins, which pierced him. Oh, how he, that lovely lily among the thorns, lived a righteous life and died a righteous death. But you know, as we read the Lamentations, really for the general part of it, no man cared for his soul. Yet see what sin did. And see then, dear friends, in your own experience, you who have received grace, oh, what a dreadful thing is. We've been singing sin really is. Because not only does it defile us, but it has pierced the Saviour. Well, then I say God is a jealous God. And therefore he must purge his floor. He must He must deal with his beloved people, for whom the Lord loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Or what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And this is the great privilege of being an adopted child, to be amongst one of those taken out of this wide wilderness. We who are strangers, bastards by nature, and adopted into the family of God. So he causes every one of his dear children, his beloved children, to pass under his rod. And that rod is dipped in love. It speaks of his instruction. It speaks of his gracious chastening, his correction. Dear friends, the Lord always has gracious ends in view with everything that he brings into our path. And you see then the afflictions he brings, the trials he brings, the sorrows he brings. May we not be as the mule that hath no understanding, and may we be kept from being rebellious and turning the shoulder, because the Lord has a gracious purpose in everything he sends. And it is in love. Now we read then in these verses leading up to our text something of the Lord's mind. You see, he does not smite his people carelessly. In hatred hath he smitten him as he smote those that smote him. You see, the Lord does not deal with us as we do with him, neither does he deal with us, you see, as he justly will with the world at large. As you see, all who are found out of Christ, they can only be dealt with according to their own follies, and that through the law. But God's people, oh, how he has reserved mercy for them. You see, they have a Redeemer, they have a Saviour, and that is why we have this as we go on to the 8th verse, in measure. God is measured. God is always measured. He's measured in everything he brings upon men in general, upon this world. You see, he's a just God. He always does that which is right, that which is equal. You can never judge God with being unjust, unfair, unequal. But of course, this word measure speaks how he deals with his people in not dealing with them after their sins, nor rewarding them according to their iniquities. You see, if God dealt with us purely as we deserved, we would be cut off. And we would be cast away, out of his sight now, and in that deserved hell forever. It must be so, because the law is so holy and just and good. It is a very good law that God has given unto men. Yes, that holy law he gave to our first parents, and indeed reiterated at Mount Sinai. It's a very good law. It shows what God requires of us. And in that we see shining his holiness and righteousness. But you see, the sort of thing is, dear friends, that God requires perfection, and man cannot give it. He that fails in one point is guilty of all. And you see then, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Even if it be only the smallest sin, even if it be just the thought of foolishness, which is sin, he must die. and you cannot dwell with God. But you know, in and through Jesus, these words shine out in measure. Yes, God's wrath has an end. God's wrath is for a time, and there is a nevertheless afterwards. Yes, he yieldeth the peaceful fruits of righteousness unto those that are exercised thereby. It is because that Jesus has spilt his own blood, that the Redeemer has borne the curse of the law that we deserve to bear. He has borne it in his own body on the tree, so that God can say to you in measure, that I will deal with you enough for your instruction, but that unmitigated wrath, that vengeance that you deserve, I have poured upon my Son. Yes, that Jesus has satisfied justice. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That is why then in measure is before us here. In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. Now, these winds, these winds spoken of, I believe, speak of the Lord's afflicting hand. Whether we speak of these things as being purely spiritual or providential as well. Yes, dear friends, you know we need this sometimes, don't we? As we read in the Song of Solomon, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may blow out, and flow out." Of course, the north wind speaks of that chilling wind, the uncomfortable wind, the purging wind, the exposing wind. The south of that comfortable wind, that consoling wind, that blessed, favoured wind. And you see how, dear friends, the Lord's people will experience both. They must be brought to the feet of Christ. Therefore, the Lord must discover the malady. That's the north wind. You see the south wind. Oh, where would we be, my dear friends? It was all law and terror. There's no such thing, really, in the Lord's dealings with us, because you would never come to the feet of Christ if that was the case. He draws the chosen race. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace, causing them to hear his call and before his power to fall. You know, the Lord knows how to melt your heart. Therefore, he brings the south wind also. And all that the Father giveth me, says Christ, shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I'll in no wise cast out. Now, perhaps particularly in those verses leading up to our text, speaks of that uncomfortable wind. There's the winds of conviction, of sin, the wind of affliction. But God is gracious. And we must then hear in our text what the Lord is doing, for he says, "By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged." Yes, God's gracious will is to bring you to the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness, to bring you as a penitent to the feet of Christ. Yes, and the Lord then, oh, how he kills so that he might make alive. Because where are we by nature? Dead in trespasses and sins, bringing forth no fruit to God, far away from him. All the unfruitful works of darkness is what we delve into and abound in by nature. And you see, without God's work, we will live and die in that case. And you see, dear friends, the Lord's people would need this hand continually through their days because they're like backsliding heifers. And the reason for this is that there is sin that dwells in us. Indwelling sin. There's the old man with his deceitful lusts, the wars against the law of our mind. And you see, dear friends, if we were left to ourselves, oh, what would we be? Little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Little thought left to itself, how it grows. And indeed, and how it breaks out in words and deeds, and takes over the whole man. You know, dear friends, there's not any hope of enduring unless God, in his mercy, brought us again and again to the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. That grace that has first saved us may yet save us. As the apostle said, when he spoke of those great troubles he came across in Asia, and how he despaired even of life. But he said, he had the sentence of death in himself, he should not trust in himself, that God that raises the dead, he said this, who has delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. We need the God of all grace. We need that Father of mercies day by day. So by this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. And this is all the fruit to take away his sin. Now, friends, if we are given the Holy Spirit, and we really receive grace from heaven, then we would not be able to reply against God. And we will have to come, as we read in that lamentation, we will have to put our mouth in the dust. You see, this is what grace does. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. Yes, there will be that inward abasement. And that is the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Not a man cannot put himself in that position. But dear friends, pray for it if you feel you're not in it. Because he is exalted as a prince and a saviour to give repentance unto Israel and a remission of sins. Indeed, putting our mouth in the dust. And I tell you, dear friends, if the Lord does convince us of what we are, then we'll have to put our mouth in the dust. Because you know, we read, and the apostle tells us in Romans that the end of the law is this, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may come in guilty before God. Because though man by nature, every one, declares his own goodness, yet by the teaching of God, every mouth is stopped. Friends, has your mouth ever been stopped? You see here the boasting of the Pharisee. "I'm not as other men are," he said. "Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess." But there was a man, wasn't there, the publican, whose mouth was stopped. God stopped his mouth. No longer could he boast of what he had done or what he was yet doing. But he put his mouth in the dust. And the language of the publican, which will be the language of all God's people, is taught by grace, is this: "God be merciful unto me, a sinner." And the use of the law then, the use of the law is this: that every mouth might be stopped. You see, dear friends, it's not another man's sin, it's my sin. That is how God deals with us. And indeed, we have to come where Job came, didn't he, when he, having said so much, and perhaps he had reason to do so, but so much about the reasons why he was not that wicked person that his friends accused him of, he had to fall down and say, "I'm vile." So indeed, he put his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. In other words, he's in silence. And that to God. And then this: "He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him, he is filled full with reproach." You see, he owns the hand that brings the affliction, and therefore gives his cheek, and he is filled full with reproach. Yes, he owns then the justice of God, just like David had to own when he said that thou mightest be just when thou judgest, and that he justified God in all his dealings with him. "He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him, he is filled full with reproach." But you know, the only way that we can be found in this word is that we have a hope. There is a secret hope springing up. And we go on to read here in the Lamentations, "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies." Those who really have to come to Christ, lost and ruined, come because they have hope. Yes, that hope that hopes in the darkest night, that hopes against hope. Do you realise this? And that it is precious faith and exercise that brings you to the feet of the Saviour. You know, no man ever repented of his sin without a grain of precious faith. It's impossible. No man ever turned to God but is drawn by the power of grace. But a mercy then, if God has turned us, and we do need to be turned. And God, speaking in Proverbs to his son, says, "Turn at my reproof. I will pour my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you." And so we may say, "Turn us, O God," and we shall be turned. This is God's work then. And dear friends, if we are his children, we can be sure that God will work. He will work. No man will stay his hand. "By this therefore shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged." Now look at the characters in the scriptures. Dear friends, look at Jacob himself. We're told the personality, disposition of Jacob. His very name tells us he's a supplanter. He was a deceiver. He deceived his brother Esau on various occasions, and then his own father. But you know, it wasn't long before God was dealing with Jacob. Jacob himself was deceived. He was deceived by Laban, who changed his wages 10 times and deceived him in the matter of his wives. He had to endure those 20 years in Laban's house. And then, of course, later on, there was that matter of Joseph. And it would seem he made too much of Joseph, the beloved son of Rachel. Therefore, God took him away. He had to be parted from him for a season. And though Jacob said, all these things are against me, yet really, in his case, it was this is all the fruit to take away his sin. Now, of course, Jacob was always Jacob. And you will be always you, and I will be always me, as regards the old man. We cannot wish, dear friends, in a wrong sense, to be what we are not. And I mean by wish, not that we, of course, we desire to be different, but I mean by way of expectation. Jacob, oh, you worm Jacob, I worm Jacob, sinners we will be. But you know, where sin abounded, grace shall much more abound. And you see, God works to subdue sin. God works by his mighty grace to overcome sin. And that is what he did in the case of Jacob. Dear friends, that is what he does with all his children. We have to come, then, as we come to this subject, we must speak of this firstly. We have to come as led by God, firstly, to the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. For that is the place of cleansing. Yes, we have to come unaware that the least of all God's mercy is there. We have to say to God, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. We have to come where David came, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. As we come then as confessing sinners to the feet of the foot of the cross, as we might know something of the precious blood of Jesus, that is effectual. The only thing that is truly effectual inwardly to take away our sin. We must be clear on that. There's nothing on earth really. No affliction, no trial, no repentance, nothing, no work of man that can take away sin but the precious blood of Jesus. And it can take away the guilt of it and the power of it. That is what we need above everything. That is where sin has its end, at the cross of Christ. But you know, the Lord does make use of afflictions to that end, to bring us to God. And I say Jacob knew something of that hand, that teaching, that instructing hand. And so will all God's children. Oh, by this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin. Yes, the Lord knows what is best for us. And it may be then we know his afflicting hand. It may be there is sorrow. It may be that we are extremely tried for a season. God is showing something to us. He's revealing indeed, perhaps, a false hiding place, a false prop, or a wrong trust, a wrong hope. Perhaps he's revealing and reproving us of our idols. And be sure that man is full of this, because we'd rather set anything and anyone in the place of God. But God will not have it, because he is jealous. And we've spoken of Jacob with his son Joseph. Well, God may not literally take away a loved one, as in the case of Jacob. But, you know, he will at least inwardly put it down, and God knows the way. Because he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, when God works, then he must have the glory. For indeed the Lord does come out of his place. And he does reprove and deal with his people. Because he is a God of judgment. We have earlier in this prophecy that the lofty looks of man will be bowed down, and the Lord shall be exalted in that day. Well, the latter part of our text does just speak of something of the sin of Israel, then, doesn't it? When he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones, that are beaten in sunder, the groves and images shall not stand up. Well, of course, they had their groves, they had their altars unto every heathen god. And they worshipped these under every green tree on every high hill. God's time came. The measure of their sin had been built up, and then God spake. And you see then, his purpose was to break those idols, to break those altars, they might serve God only. You see, we can serve so many things, can't we? If we speak personally, you see, we serve ourselves, we serve our lusts, we serve the old man, we serve Satan. So you see, that must be broken down. And it may be, as regards our faith, dear friends, that it is not purely set on God. We're not trusting in God only, looking to him, looking to his pure word of truth, what saith the scriptures, but that our eyes upon men, that we're trusting in something else than God and his precious word. In this sense, then, our faith may be sickly. It may be mottled. And we have need of the trial of our faith, much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Because the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is, that which is of God and that which is of men, that which is of the word and that which is of man's opinions, that which is of men's production and that which is of God's command. Yes, the fire shall try every man's work. The day will declare it. But the ultimate point is this, that God must have the glory. He'll have the glory in the hearts of his own people, have the glory in his church collective. The Lord alone will be exalted. In that day, dear friends, and where will the saints be? At his feet, seeing no man save Jesus only. That is what it will be in heaven. It won't be Jesus and someone else. No, be Jesus only. And the song will be this purest song in heaven. It'll be grace, free grace unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We'll not be singing the praises of God and the praises of men, not in glory. This is how then it needs to be on earth. Dear friends, oh, how troubled we are when it is not so. But you know, he must have the glory. And by this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. And this is all the fruit to take away his sin. But coming back to this, you see, that it's the Lord's kindness, it's the Lord's goodness, if ever we are found under his chastening hand. It is for an end, it is for a purpose, to do you good at your latter end. It's got an end in view for you. It is that we might be conformed to his image, that we may be partakers of his holiness. We may be made his sons and his daughters. Well, it is a great favour then. Dear friends, if the Lord is dealing with us, oh, how we will desire this work when we are in our right mind. Purged with hyssop, I shall be clean. Washed, I shall be whiter than snow. And I say, whatever the Lord reveals to us, which is dark and sinful and unclean and wrong, take it to the fountain. Open for sin and uncleanness, because he's never sent any away. No, the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to fill his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. The precious blood of Jesus that cleanseth from all sin, doubt it not. Oh, how it cleanses us from every folly and every fault and reconciles our souls to God. Take it then to God. Pour out your heart before him. What is a refuge for us? Though your heart be hard, is there anything too hard for him? Though it be so sinful. Yet, dear friends, a God who can remove mountains can remove your sins. Oh, take then your heart, your life to him. Because he can purge your sin. He can make you a new creature. To offer up these spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ, that you might be those bringing forth fruit, the fruits of righteousness. And this we must speak of, because you know, these afflictions, this chastening hand, is to take away our sin. That's the gospel, isn't it? There's no such thing under the law. To take away our sin, God brings you, you see, he brings you to yourself, like that prodigal son was, and then he'll bring you to his feet to take away your sin. To take it away as far as the east is from the west, to remove them, your transgressions from you. Oh, those sins which trouble you. Yes, and trouble the Saviour too. Those sins that cause you grief, that cause you to be bowed down, that have brought you low, that have made you sad, brought so much sorrow. Yes, to carry them away. That you might know the forgiveness of them. And indeed, to remove the power of them, to deliver you from those weights and the sin that does so easily beset you. Because if you read Hebrews 12, he speaks there of chastening. And he speaks, you see, of laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. And he speaks of chastening. My son, faint not when thou art rebuked, chastened of the Lord. You see, it's to take away our sin. Well, the Lord is very kind in this. Your friends, sin cumbers us, clogs us. But as the Lord brings us again and again to that fountain over for sin, oh, how we then become as those free men. Freed from sin's besetting weight, freed from its guilt, and able to run that race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Yes, and as we may then be so delivered from its power to walk in those paths of righteousness. And this is all the fruit to take away his sin. So I want to emphasize this, that this is God's great goodness. This is God's great mercy. Dear friends, if he deals with you as sons and daughters, be truly thankful for it. And may we leave then God to do as he thinks best. To, as I have mentioned here in Lamentations, put our mouth in the dust. For there is hope here. The Lord will not cast off ever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies, for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. We need right views of God. He is a just God and a Saviour. Yes, though he be holy, yet he is full of compassion. Compassions that fail not, that are new every morning, and he loves to hear the penitent's cry. He is more full of compassion than we can ever imagine. For we are not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And though Israel of old often went astray, yet we read of them that God was very gracious unto them at the voice of their cry. You see, he heard them, he delivered them, and though he had to afflict them in the wilderness, see how he was so ready to forgive. And he declared his name unto Moses, didn't he? Oh, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Well then, dear friends, God does not deal with us through the holy law as we would deserve. We must not think that, ever think that God's people suffer under the vindictive wrath of God. You know, it's impossible. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. They're in a state of grace. They've passed from death to life. They're no longer abiding under the wrath of God. But this little wrath that we read of in Isaiah again later on, little wrath, which is but for a moment, shows indeed his fatherly displeasure that he might purge away our sin. And dear friends, there will be that nevertheless afterward yielding the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You see, because he wants you to know his peace. There's no peace in sin, there's no peace of the wicked, saith the Lord. You know what sin has done to you, but his purpose is to cause you to enter into peace and to have happiness. And God confirms his goodwill then. He says this, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. This is thy Redeemer. And he says, this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would no more be wroth with thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Your friends, it's impossible, isn't it, that your sins could ever remove the covenant of his peace? No, or his kindness. Though, as it were, for a little time, little moment, he hides his face, he's still thy Redeemer. My kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Well, you have a faithful God and a faithful Redeemer. See the outstretched hand. Dear friends, though it be a chastening one, oh, that hand is sent to redeem you. The greatest trials, the greatest troubles are sent in mercy to you. And our wisdom then, and our peace will be to kiss the rod. And in this then, to find his peace. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. And this is all the fruit to take away his sin. When he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones, that are beaten in sunder, the groves and images shall not stand up. God bless his word. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Timothy Parrish on Good Friday morning. Our closing hymn is number 1074. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in thee? the fullness of thy promise prove, the seal of thy eternal love. Hymn 1074.
Has been amiss with us this evening. Do bless thy own word of truth unto us. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.